My name is Josh Black. It is the 30th of September 2009. We're here in Trafalgar Square for the One Another project with the Wellcome Trust. Can I ask you to state your name, age and where you're from, please?
Hello, Josh. My name is Kate Louise Rowles. I'm 26 years old and I'm originally from Preston in Lancashire, but currently living in London and have been for the past 2 years.
And how are you feeling today, Kate?
I'm feeling quite excited, thank you. It was just a few hours ago that I agreed to accept my place on the plinth, and it's all kind of happened quite quickly. So yeah, I'm excited to be in this seat rather than on the other side, so yes.
So what has happened? How did you come to be in this position?
Well, I work on the project. I'm one of the deputy event managers, which has been an amazing experience, one of the most meaningful jobs I've ever had. And I'm normally one of the people interviewing the participants, and now I'm in the other seat, and it's quite an interesting experience. Somebody dropped out and I agreed to take their place.
And have you been on the standby list, or was this a very last minute decision?
I have been on the standby list, yes. But it was quite last minute because I didn't know if this would ever happen. So, yeah.
And what are you thinking of doing up on the plinth this evening?
Well, I have had a few different ideas. Initially, I thought I would like to take a gravestone up there onto the plinth, and I thought that would be quite something to represent the monuments normally erected for ordinary people on the plinth. That was my initial idea, but I never really got round to researching how to get gravestones and all of that, and could never actually quite bring myself to do that. So now that it's all been quite last minute, I'm quite happy that I've decided instead to do something a bit more optimistic and tell my life story so far.
And will you be telling that to the square or to the audience? Will you be taking amplification up?
I don't think I will. I think the beauty of this project for me personally now, being in this position, is that it's going to be something that's being recorded that I can look back on in 10, 20, 30 years time, and I'll be able to see how I saw myself as a young woman when I'm not so young anymore. And so I think it'd be great. I'm just going to talk, I think, for my hour and say as much as I can about myself in that hour, for the sake of my own history, really, and documenting my own life.
You mentioned that you've been working on this project and it's been one of the best jobs you've ever had. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, sure. I really have enjoyed meeting so many different people from all walks of life and inviting them to speak a bit about themselves and their life stories, and I've felt so lucky to have this opportunity. I've felt like I've received the gift of knowledge and life experience vicariously through speaking to so many wonderful people, and I feel very privileged to have had that opportunity. And also because I'm really fascinated by social documentary, and that's sort of the background of my own artwork that has always had a social documentary slant to it. So to be working on a project by Anthony Gormley, who's an artist I really admire, in this role has just been a dream job for me and a great beginning, I hope, to a career in the field of art and social documentary kind of combined.
What is your background in the arts?
Well, I did a theatre studies degree at university in Lancaster, and then I went to Dartington College of Arts in Devon, did an MA in visual performance and time-based art practices, where I made a lot of work with my own family, artwork in the medium of home video, and I was interested in exploring that medium as a form of art and film that is sort of a form of film that isn't really recognised or written about academically. So I sort of decided to make performance and sort of home videos with my own family to document family life in a creative way. And that's a project that's ongoing. I've got a blog, which is katerollshomevideo.blogspot.com. And I'm also a photographer, so I have a Flickr site, Kate Rawls Photography. And I am also a musician as well. I play piano and sing, and collaborate with guitarist Tim Young on our own music. And yes, I think that's where we're up to so far.
You mentioned that you grew up in Preston, Lancashire. So how long, and you're now been in London for 2 years.
Yeah, that's right.
What prompted the move?
Well, I left Preston to go to Lancaster University, left Lancaster to go to Devon for my MA. Then from there, I moved to London initially because my wonderful cousin, Julie Dawson, invited me to be a living nanny with her for 3 months while she was doing her teacher training placement and wanted somebody to look after her two beautiful boys, Connor and Daniel. And I volunteered happily for that and lived with them for 3 months. They allowed me to explore London as well as looking after their boys and being completely accepted into the family, as we are sort of, I hadn't really spent that much time with them, having lived so far apart from them previously. So it was great to be able to explore London and to find work opportunities in London whilst living in a sort of safe haven. And I was fortunate to find work and managed to stay here. And my good friend Dot Howard told me about a friend of hers that had a spare room in Nunhead in southeast London, and I went to that house and met her friends who were lovely and moved in with them. And I'm currently living with some brilliant people who are, many of whom are actually ex-Dartington students like myself, who all seem to have migrated to London. So we've got pretty much a house full of expat Dartington people, which is great. Yeah.
And how many people is it that you live with?
There are five of us. There's me, Tom Hughes, Klaus Cruz, Ulla de Gerling, and Darren Perry. And everybody is sort of in their 20s and 30s and all trying to pursue our careers in the arts. And at various levels of our careers with that.
Have you lived in house shares before?
Yeah, I lived in Devon with a great guy called Greg, and that was lovely. And then before that, I lived in a house share in sort of just further up the road with some lovely people, two Natashas, a girl called Misty. All through university student life.
And have you always enjoyed living in house shares?
Yeah, it's nice to live with people of your own age, and particularly at the moment, I think I'm the happiest I've ever been in terms of living with people that are good friends of mine. We're all in the same boat and it feels like a little family that we've all got to know each other so well, which is great.
You mentioned the family that you nannied for in London. You mentioned the reasons for not having spent time with them in the past. Are you now seeing more of them now you are here?
Yeah, I try and visit as often as possible. They always invite me over sort of every month or so, or I go and try and see them and keep in touch with the young boys, because it's quite hard, I suppose, to have somebody come into their house and live with them and then leave after developing a strong relationship with them to just disappear. And young children aged 3 and 6 don't really understand why that is, so I try and visit them as often as possible, but it's not always easy. Yeah.
What does family mean to you?
My artwork is a lot about family, and I suppose I discovered that family meant a great deal to me when I began my MA, and after doing a degree that was very much about trying lots of different things, but always with a set kind of question or module or something like that, to be given absolute freedom and to be asked, what would I like to make art about? Family was what it was. It was the answer to that question. It was my kind of social origin, and that just seemed to make complete sense when I was thinking about all that was meaningful to me in my life was how I came to be here, which was because of two individuals, Linda Rolls and John Rolls. Linda Rolls, originally Linda Fisher, and it's because of them that I'm here, so I decided that they were the inspiration for my work, really.
And how often do you see them and take videos of them for this project?
Well, the home video series has sort of mainly happened over the 2 years I did my MA, which was 2006 to 2008. 2006, 7, 8, that's right. And then I've made a short film with them since then. I go and visit as often as I can every few months. So we've just got to see what the next project's going to be. Yeah.
What are your plans for after the plinth being over?
Well, that will be very sad. Here, all of us, I'm part of team three, which is myself, Nova Donahoe, Thailand Halichi, Rob Bolton, and then we have various assistants that sort of make up our fifth person, and we've all bonded brilliantly. It's been amazing, and it'd be very sad to see it be over. But after this, since gaining the ability to do oral history interviews, which I think is a wonderful thing, I'm going to be volunteering for MIND, doing oral history interviews for them, looking into the impact of resettlement on mental health. I hope to volunteer also for Mass Observation, who document everyday life in the UK and have done since the 1930s. So I hope to be able to work for them. That's been a goal, actually, at the back of my mind for some time, a life goal to be able to contribute to their work. But I'm now discovering there are quite a few other organisations doing similar work that it would be possible also for me to work for. So I'm looking into that. I do want to work in the social documentary field, and I'm just trying to find my way with that, really, and also sort of with the art work as well, to try and find that balance of career and making art and living and doing something that's rewarding. All of that, still trying to find my way, and I imagine it's a challenge of a lifetime.
What does art mean to you?
It became a process of self-discovery, I think. Initially, I think I got into art. I did theatre studies A-level and really enjoyed it, and that was my route into that. And so it was more about performance for a while, but I always found myself really not liking theatricality and being much more inspired by more kind of the performance of everyday life rather than of theatre. And then I became more interested in the visual arts and sort of video art and photography because of its sort of grounding in reality, literally. So to me, art came to be a way of showing things as they are, or trying to. I always kind of wanted to be, it always had that documentary element, and I suppose it art is a way of making history as well. So I suppose that's a big part of it, not just in terms of art history, but just in terms of capturing things now in a way that has an element of politics, perhaps, or politics that's inherent in the way things are, and to some extent, but not trying to be beautiful, but something that maybe reveals the beauty in things. But I'm very aware that it's not about beauty all the time, and it's important to capture ugliness as well.
How has this your involvement in this project changed, if at all, your opinions?
Meeting lots of people has taught me, I think I'm quite an open person anyway, and I try not to be judgmental, but it's taught me increasingly the importance of not being judgmental and allowing people to speak for themselves, and the importance of that and the value of that. And I think the brilliance of this project is that it has enabled that for history, even though there are other projects that have allowed that to happen. I think historically this is quite monumental in terms of the definition of public art and what it's done for the profile also of live art in the mind of the ordinary member of the public, however they perceive art, which is a great thing. So yeah, meeting lots of people and just the incredible value of that.
And thinking about your hour, have you had time to plan it as such? Do you have any idea of the structure of what you're going to be doing up there?
Well, I haven't thought about it. I've just decided it was something I had at the back of my mind. It would either be this thing about death or this thing about life, and because I don't have the gravestone, it's going to be about life. And I do think about death quite a lot, and this project is actually, because I've met so many inspiring and driven people, and also equally a number of people who perhaps seem quite lost, or lots of people trying to find their way in life, and how much self-reflection this project initiates in people, which has been very powerful. And so I think I'm going to reflect on my own life, and I haven't thought about it, haven't had time at all to think about it, what I'm going to say. I'm just going to try and be as articulate as I can. I know that I'm quite an emotional person, and it might be quite difficult to keep that up, but I know that I want, because this is going to be recorded, and I feel the need to sort of be at my best, but at the same time I'm aware that I don't want to fool myself as well and pretend that I'm somebody I'm not. So I'm just going to sort of see what happens and see how I communicate myself and learn to understand myself through this next hour, hopefully a little bit better.
Who or what would you say are the important things in your life right now, and how will this be reflected in your hour?
Right now I'm 26 and I'm really trying to figure out my path, and when I was doing my degree, I always thought I would be some kind of theatre or art lecturer or something like that, and have increasingly discovered how difficult it is to get those kind of jobs without doing a PhD. I'm not sure if I'm going to do a PhD, and also just discovering how tricky it is to get the kind of job in the arts. It just seems ridiculously difficult. You have to be ridiculously overqualified to have a basic administration job, just because of the kind of organisation that you're going to be working for. Doesn't mean that the role is going to be any more challenging, and so I'm sort of battling with that at the moment. Been trying to get into the film industry, and also finding that quite tricky. I have worked for a production company called Green Lions since living here for a short while, and they were brilliant to take me on, but the role was actually quite technical, and I felt I wasn't given the opportunity really to be as creative as I would like. Or they were very generous actually with what they allowed me to do, but as a junior editor as I was, I found it, the role was very technical, and I would like to be more creative. So as you can tell, I'm still quite confused about my path in life and how I can somehow shape my direction in life. Very aware that every step I make is kind of shaping my own future, so just trying to figure out how to best do that. So that's important. Living in London, it's a huge place, so I've quickly realised the importance of having a good group of friends that you can spend your time with, and who really make your life worth living and make it what it is, people to share it with. So investing in those people, meeting more new people, keeping in touch with my family. I'm aware that I'm not living in Preston anymore, and my brother's wife Louise is expecting a baby, which is wonderful news, so I want to be able to go and visit them and meet the baby and be part of that new family that's growing, and to not neglect my parents, who are, my father's just retired, my mother may be retiring soon, so I want to be able to share that with them. And so just to be a valuable member of my family, and to do the right thing by them, and to try and be strong, and I'm still looking to find my partner or whoever. I've had a few failed relationships, and I've really felt the blow of that, so I'm really hoping that that's not going to have too much of a negative impact on who I am as a person, and hopefully I'll meet somebody to share my life with at some point. And I don't know when that will be or if that will be, but that's also at the back of my mind.
You mentioned earlier that you think about death a lot. Could you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, I think it's just something that preoccupies me, or that I'm a little bit, I'm just very aware of in terms of mortality and the value of life and making the most of it. And I know it's just heartbreaking to think that we're all going to die one day and it can't really be comprehended, and that's something that moves me a lot, and I think it motivates me as well to sort of to try and make the work that I make, but also can be a bit much to take as well, but we all know that that's our fate.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say about your hour?
Not about my hour. Well, I suppose I'd just like to say I'm really quite nervous. Well, I don't feel very nervous at the moment, because I've been on Trafalgar Square, working on Trafalgar Square 9 hours a day for the past 3 months. I feel very much at home in Trafalgar Square, as I know that the One Another team do. And that's brilliant. That's a brilliant feeling, actually, to live in London and to feel at home in a place like Trafalgar Square, for it to feel so familiar. There's definitely some kind of sense of arriving that is born out of that I'm sort of aware of now. Like I feel much more of a Londoner from working on this project now, and having met people from all over the UK, I feel a lot more at home here. So I'm looking forward to being on the plinth. I'm not really sure what will happen, but I'm sure it will be worth it, whatever it is that happens. I would like to say about myself, I suppose, that I'm somebody who is quite emotional. I'm a feminist. The three words that I chose were brave, emotional, feminist. And I really struggle a lot with contemporary society and the way a lot of women sort of are, or kind of the struggles that are still there with sort of the pressures on women to sort of, I don't know, just to be glamorized or all of that. I'm still quite uncomfortable with that, and that's something that I'm quite passionate about, and think it's important to be a strong woman and to not compromise. Yeah.
Could you possibly relate that to meeting women throughout the course of this project and interviewing them?
I've been kind of disappointed the number of women that have said they are not a feminist in this project. People that, you know, when that issue has come up in interviews, a lot of women don't want to be associated with the word feminism. And I think so many women today feel like that, so many young women. It's as though it's a dirty word, and I really don't understand what's happened, what went wrong there over the past sort of 40 years. I don't know why that is. But I've met some incredible women and men throughout this project, and I think maybe there's just a gap between that sort of academic word of feminism and what it means and how it translates into people living their lives in society, and whether or not it's post-feminism is blurry. My tutor Elaine Aston at college always said it's you know, we're still on feminism. Post-feminism is not, it's not right. It's, I don't know, something along those lines. So yeah, I think that's what I think.
Anything else that you'd like to add to the recording?
Just to say hello from Kate Louise Rolls at 11:45 PM on the 30th of September 2009 to whoever's listening now, whatever day, time, year it is. Hello to you in the future, and thank you for all the team who are brilliant. I know everybody working on this project, and everybody's been just so wonderful, and I think we're all really lucky to be taking part in this. And yeah, I think that's all. Yeah.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you, Josh.